Blog Talk Radio.
Life, growth, and wellness.
Everyone to Truthful Tuesdays right here on Life, Love, and Wellness, the Sandy Rogers Show. And I get the honor and pleasure to be your hostess for this evening. I am Sandy Rogers. You know, I get so excited every Tuesday. It's my Christmas day every week. So I just love presenting this show and the absolutely wonderful guests that agree to come on and share with us of their gifts and talents. So I'm just excited. And tonight is no different. We have an exceptional speaker that will be joining us shortly. But, you know, we have a few things that we need to do in order to get ready for the show. And so, first of all, we always start by acknowledging, giving thanks and paying honor to our ancestors. Our ancestors are with us all the time. We just need to welcome their energy, their spirit. And so for being with us always, and especially on Tuesdays, as we discuss issues that are not commonly or ordinarily talked about in an open setting. And we know that sometimes we go into areas that many may call gray. So ancestors, thank you for keeping us uplifted. We stand on your shoulders for our strength. We trust that you got our backs as we move forward. And so, ancestors, with much deep love and appreciation, we honor you, respect you, and we love you forever. Ashe, ashe. So next, we anchor ourselves in affirmative reading. And what I do is I take a portion of my daily inspirational messages that you can find on RevSandy.wordpress.com. And so I just read a small part of it. And if you would like to go into it deeper, you all can at RevSandy.wordpress.com. And but just a portion is being read tonight. So today's message is entitled Compassion. I give that which I desire to receive. I give compassion to others freely. I am compassionate to folks I know and those that I do not. Compassion is a sincere feeling of connection to the universe. Compassion. Again, that's RevSandy.wordpress.com. And if you so desire, you can sign up to have those daily inspirational messages delivered to you every day by through your email, and you wake up and be inspired to move on through your day. So it's all about life, it's all about love, and it's all about wellness. So today's show is called Habits for Success. And our awesome presenter tonight is Brian Benson, or G. Brian Benson. And Brian is just really such a cheerful, free-spirited soul. And it's such a pleasure to have him join us today on the show. And so I'm going to be bringing him on shortly. Just need to do a couple of things. Like I said, you know, we got to get ourselves in order. So, audience, you know, you're always invited to join in the discussion. All comments are welcomed and every voice will be heard. However, please, no foul, profane, or vulgar language is allowed on the show. You will be disconnected if you choose not to adhere to those rules. Our call-in number for you, audience, if the line is 516-531-9819, and you would simply press 1 to alert me you want to speak live on air. And to ensure the best quality of high quality of our playbacks, please mute your phone if your line is open, because I don't turn you off. I just leave you in there. But if you're not speaking, once you're acknowledged, then just mute it while you're not speaking. I appreciate that. But you can always go to www.blogtalkradio.com/Sandy Rogers, RODGERS, and listen to any of the shows, because they're all automatically archived. Thank you. You're listening to Life, Love, and Wellness, the Sandy Rogers Show. And, you know, we normally take a little music break before we get started. And if we have an opportunity to come back and play some more music, we will. But we're going to take this at the top of the hour, right? So let's take a quick break, and then we'll be back right back to bring on G. Brian Benson.
Car at all,
That's another old school by William Devine. Paul, be thankful for what you got. And, you know, when I first had an opportunity to talk with G. Brian Benson, that's what he reminded me of. And so you'll get the story shortly from Mr. Benson. But I just want to let you know you are certainly in for a treat tonight. So welcome back. Welcome back to Life, Love, and Wellness, the Sandy Rogers Show. And audience, just one more time, if you would like to be a part of the live discussion, you can call us at 516-531-9819. Push 1 on your dial and let us know you want to speak live on air with us. And I appreciate you being with us tonight, audience, to engage in this discussion with Brian. And so I'm going to introduce you to him in just a very short, abbreviated way, and then I'm going to have Brian to introduce himself as he would like to be known. So what I know about Brian is that he is from Oregon, and he's going to tell us the reason why he left. And he was privileged to be able to continue into or on with his family business, and he decided not to do that. He's going to explain that to us as well. He's an actor. He's a spoken word artist. He's appeared on TEDx. He has several books out, and he's been a speaker in Stockholm, Sweden, and or he's going to Stockholm, Sweden. I apologize. But he is just incredible. So I would like to read one sentence out of his book, Habits for Success. And I think this is his motto for life, and I just love what it said. It helped me to take another look at the things that I do day in and day out. It said, I had to step away from something that I didn't love in hopes of finding something that I did. That's awesome. Because, you know, so many times we be stuck and we stay there in relationships, in jobs, with people that we call friends and just all of that. And so, again, I think that's one of the most profound sentences in the entire book. So without further ado, audience, I present to you my friend, Brian Benson. Hey, Brian.
Hello, Reverend Sandy. How are you?
I'm excellent. How are you doing this evening?
Fine, thank you. It's a pleasure. And thank you for the kind words that you said about me.
Oh, thank you for being with us tonight. I'm so honored that you took time out of your busy schedule to be a guest with us.
Oh, I'm happy to be here.
Thank you. So tell us who you are in your words.
Oh, my gosh. well, I'm you know, a little bit of obviously what you already mentioned. I'm still evolving. You know, a lot of the things that I found myself doing, I had no idea were inside of me when I left my family business, you know, that you had briefly talked about at the start. And so I'm, you know, I know that I will continue doing a lot of the stuff you had already mentioned as far as, you know, I'm starting to speak more, which is fairly new to me. You know, I will continue to act a little bit. I know that I have some more books inside of me, whether they're, you know, self-help books or kids' books. But ultimately, I love to create positive media in all kinds of different ways. And I think that ideally, you know, I just want to be a living example for other people that have had their own, you know, version of struggles and maybe haven't always loved and accepted themselves as much as they could have along the way. And they're working toward that just as I have, you know, myself. And so I just... you know, just trying to share that, you know, it's safe and it's okay to trust your intuition and step out of your comfort zone and just let it step into the unknown and let it kind of guide you and see what happens. I think, you know, you'll be amazed as I have myself.
it can be scary doing it because for some reason we've been taught that there is a set standard or set mm-hmm. way of doing things, right? Like you go mm-hmm. to school, you go to church, you obey your parents, you live in this community, and you have to stay within some of those confines, which, you know, you never get a chance to color outside the line. You know, you never get to mm-hmm. Go to another neighborhood, you know, and be with those people. I know that's the kind of trouble I got into. Like, why were you over there? You know, that those people are not your people kind of thing, you know. So, yeah, I mean, it's just amazing that we do things like that. So for you, how was it scary? Not how scary. Was it scary for you to pursue your happiness on your terms?
Well, yes and no. Initially, I knew that I needed to leave. I just felt like I had stopped growing there. And for the most of my life, I feel like I've always kind of tried to be the best version of myself. And so I was feeling like it was time for a new challenge of some kind. And I felt like, you know, I felt like I had some gifts inside of me that I didn't know what they were at the time, but I knew that they needed to come out, and I wasn't sure how it was going to happen, but I knew that the first step was to leave the family business. And so that part for me, it wasn't that hard just because I kind of felt like I was so done there, and the pain of staying was scarier than the pain of leaving. Now, after I left, you know, I obviously stepped out of my comfort zone in a lot of ways that were terrifying for me, you know, as far as like maybe speaking in front of people. And, that was something that I was afraid of, like a lot of folks. But so it's a little bit of both, if that makes sense.
Mm-hmm. Well, it does. It really does.
Yeah.
So how was it, how did it affect your relationship with your family, your relationships?
That's a great question. Luckily, my father was very understanding. In fact, he shared something with me that I had no idea that he was holding on to. He told me that had he been able to do it all over again, he had his own insurance business. And the golf center that we ran, it was a driving range, a 9-hole par 3 course in a 9-hole par 3 course in a retail store. That was kind of a side business for us. But he had shared with me that if he could have done it all over again, he would have gone into the golf business and become like, you know, a teaching professional or something. He really loved it. He really loved golf. He loved to teach others. And so so that was nice to really, you know, that was an interesting share, and it made me feel more at ease. But it also, I think, allowed him to really just, you know, let me go without any issues.
Mhm. That's good.
Wanted me to be happy. Yeah, absolutely.
Because he had forsaken his dreams to do something differently.
Yes. And you know, I don't know. Well, yeah, I didn't. I mean, I don't know if he totally had that dream from the get-go, but I know that he probably picked it up along the way. But yet, you know, he had three kids. I was the oldest of three, and so that would have been. You know, it's just something you don't do very often, especially back then.
Right. You know, go ahead.
So basically I was blessed to have been given the blessing of, you know, heading out onto my own, whatever path that was going to look like.
Right. So, and you stay in contact with your family?
Oh, absolutely, yeah. So the golf center, though, I wasn't able to leave as soon as I would like to have. I was just ready to hit the road and see what was next. But I had to stay an extra year because we decided to sell it, and we had to go through the process of listing it and finding a buyer. And so that last year was tough for me because, you know, I was jonesing to hit the road, but it turned out to be a blessing in disguise, as About halfway through, I kind of accidentally got an idea to write my first book, which in turn pointed me in a whole new direction and gave me something to kind of head toward when I did leave.
Awesome. They said that there's no mistakes, you know, there's no setbacks, just set ups.
No, yeah, exactly right. You know, I just needed God, spirit, universe, whatever you want to call it, just to
right.
kind of, I just needed to trust. And you know, and if we do trust and we know we're patient, we will be shown the way. And
exactly.
And so, yeah, I mean, one day I was just feeling really out of balance, and I sat down and thought, hey, let's come up with a handful of things that I know that will help me stay in balance during this time period, you know, until I'm able to leave. And so I wrote down five things. And every time I began to feel like I was struggling, I would pull the list out of my wallet and I would read it, and it helped. Yep. And my intuition then started screaming, expand the list and write a book. And I'd never written a book before, but I listened to that little message come through, and I knocked it out in a couple of months, and then
awesome.
I self-published it. And yeah, and so that just pointed me in a whole new direction.
Well, that's good. Because, you know, when it's given to us, it doesn't take years and years. You know what I'm saying? It's like you
yeah.
just sit there and the words come and you just write them down or you type them in your computer or whatever the means that you're using to record
yeah.
the messages. That just amazes me. You know, I thought that there was something wrong, you know, because, like, when I first started writing, that's all I would do was put my hand over the keyboard, and I look up, and the whole thing is written. I'd be like, oh, my God, where'd that come from, you know?
Well, yeah, I feel like I'm, you know, for the most part, I feel like I'm a conduit. And, you know, most of the times when I'm really digging deep and having stuff kind of come through me, whether it's, you know, a book or a poem or what have you, it just kind of just, I don't really remember writing it.
Yeah, right. So you do other
yeah.
things as well before we get to your book. You're
mm-hmm.
a triathlete. You've done 50 triathlons. And
yeah.
You're cross-country bicyclist.
Yes. I feel like I've lived many lifetimes. the triathlons I started when I was in college, and I did my last Ironman in 2006. And so, you know, it just, for me, it was just really, it became kind of a, you know, just a way of life for me. And it gave me a lot of confidence and made me feel empowered and alive. And, you know, it was kind of, I think, you know, there's no accident that it came, you know, came first a ways back. It was kind of nice having that confidence in my back pocket, heading off into the unknown. And as I began to, you know, pursue the writing and the acting and all those other things, although they're completely different, I felt like I did, though, have it, you know, in the back of my mind that I could do anything that I wanted to if I put my mind to it and worked hard enough, because that's what I achieved with the other stuff.
Right. So when you were practicing and getting ready,
mm-hmm.
preparation, I'm not going to call it practice, but preparing.
Training, yeah.
Training, okay. For
yeah,
the triathlon.
Yeah.
So you were you with your, with the golf store, the golf business with your family, or had you already left, or what kind of got you going in that direction?
No, that's a great question. It was well before I left the family business. So I was in college,
okay.
and I had a bad knee injury. My kneecap got knocked out of place playing mud football with some buddies. And I had to have surgery, and it took a while. And it's kind of scary because I was really active and played a lot of sports in high school and loved to, you know, just be active. And so I wasn't sure what was going to be happening after that. And after I had surgery, I began the slow process of rehabbing it. And I had a couple friends of mine talk about a short triathlon that they had done the summer before. And I don't know, it's one of those things where you just kind of feel like a little bell go off, and it's just, you know, it's like meant to be. It's like, you know what, I'm going to set a goal for myself to do one of those, even though it was about a year off. You know, it was a year away because I had all that, you know, rehab to do and get my body ready. But I visualized it. And I even wrote a poem. I wasn't a writer by any means, but I kind of wrote a poem before I did my first race. And I needed something to look forward to, because it was very kind of a depressing time with you know, my knee being as it was and not being able to be active and such. So, you know, a year later, I found myself, you know, at a short course triathlon, and I did it and I finished, and it just really, I felt empowered and alive, and it just, I wanted to do more. And I ended up doing 4 more races that summer, and I did 10 the summer after that. Yeah. And then the third year I did my first Ironman, and it just became a way of, you know, just a way of life for me for a while there, the training. And, you know, I had some other friends that were doing it, and it was just pretty cool to be in really, really good shape. And it taught me a lot of discipline, and it taught me to really be, you know, listen to my body as far as what I was putting in, you know, food wise, which is so important, you know, which has been so important for me, you know, ever since. And I gained a lot of good habits from that, right, from those experiences. And so then I raced for about 5 or 6 years, then I took a break. And then I did 2 more Ironman about 15 years after the first couple. I did another one in 05 and 06. And that was also very special because I was able to do one with my son, who was 11 at the time, who was not around for the first batch. And so, yeah, the one in 2005, he was there watching me race, and he didn't know it, but I had plans on grabbing him at the finish line and letting him run the last 100 yards with me. And that was a really special moment for both of us.
Right.
And,
That's
so
cool.
So I was running a family business at the time. So.
Okay. But you know, the story about your knee, I find that fascinating because, so here you are recuperating, and this is my theory, right? So I can see the average person being like, oh my God, I hope I could be able to walk when this thing is all over with, or swim, you know, something simple. But here you go, running and competing in the triathlons and things, man. That is such a way out there type of vision to have and to hold about what you can do.
Well, thank you. You know, I honestly didn't know if I could or not, but, you know, and I, just like anything else, I kind of bit off little bits of the time. You know, I started off with short races, you know, where it's maybe a 500-yard swim and a 15-mile bike and like a 5K, and then I kept working my way up all the way to the big ones, where it's a 2.5-mile swim and a 112-mile bike and a marathon run. But, I had to do it or I would have gotten really depressed. I had to have something to look forward to and at least try. And, and it, you know, it really helped me.
Yeah, it's just amazing. I'm so enthused with your story and the things that you've overcome and the things that you've set your mind, you know, your vision on to accomplish in life with, you know, that it's what we call faith, right?
Because you
couldn't possibly see it while you're laying up there going to treatment for your knee that you've had surgery, you know, like, ooh-wee. People probably looked at you and said, yeah, man, I don't know about him.
Well,
you know, or that you're sitting there with wishful thinking or something. So that's quite an accomplishment. And then to come back and have your son to run with you, that's just very special right there.
No, that was a wonderful day.
Right, right. So tell us, continue on with your journey. So you run these races?
Yeah, but the last one I did was in 06. And so the bike ride when I rode across the country, that was in 1996, kind of in between my triathlon, racing and all those races. I'd always wanted to ride my bike across the country. And
this
happened just before I started running the family business again. I had a break between leaving the job I was currently at. I was working as a counselor at a boys treatment ranch in Northern California, and I had about 6 months in between when I was going to go take over and start running the family business because my dad had somebody else doing it. And so I one of the gentlemen I worked with just told me about a bike ride that he went on 10 years before that was a fundraiser called Bike Aid. And I just got, you know, totally engrossed in that. And I looked it up and I checked it out and I said it was perfect because it happened during the summer while I was kind of waiting to start the business and start running the business. And I signed up and I went across the country with 20 other really cool people and raised a lot of money for a lot of sustainable type nonprofits across America, and just had the most amazing 9 weeks of my life riding my bike from Seattle to Washington, D.C.
Wow.
Yeah, we saw little tiny towns. We went through big cities like Chicago and Minneapolis and Pittsburgh, and I stayed in an abbey with monks in North Dakota. I stayed on the Lame Deer Indian Reservation in Montana and stayed at a brooder hop coming to Amish-type community in Pennsylvania. And it was just really, I saw America.
I see why you say you've lived several lifetimes in one, because, you know, that right there, etched in your memory and in your heart forever. That's cool.
Yeah.
Because, you know, it's one thing to be in a car, right, and you all closed in, or you can roll the windows down. It's another thing to be in an airplane, you know, and you just over the top of everything so you get to see nothing close up, you know.
Exactly. Right.
Like there's like little ants down there or something. But to be able to ride your bike, and so like you're just free all around, so you just have this air. That is so beautiful.
You see the sights, you smell the, you know, you smell things, you see everything. You just really, we went through Yellowstone too, National Park, and that was really amazing.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's cool. Yeah. That's cool. So how did you eat along the way? I know that's kind of off the subject a little bit, but.
No. Well, so this was the 10th year that this program had been going on. And so we knew where we were going to stay every night. So we would kind of put a little money into a community thing, and we'd have different duties. And sometimes somebody would make oatmeal in the morning. Sometimes somebody else would be cleaning up the pots or what have you. And so we took turns with that. And some of the places that we stayed, sometimes we'd throw our bags down at a YMCA. Sometimes we'd go into people's homes. Sometimes we'd throw our bags down at a church. Other time, you know, a third of the time we would camp. And so we knew, but since we knew where we were going, and a lot of times we would do a little bit of maybe a little talk for the people that we were visiting. And once a week we would stay someplace for an extra day and do a community service project. So the food just kind of came in all kinds of different, a variety of ways. And each morning we knew where we were going and we could kind of go at our own pace. And I was a really good cyclist, and sometimes I would just want to go by myself and just zip. Other times I'd want to just meander with a group of people. And, you know, just we averaged about 75 miles a day. And, it was just really – it was really, you know what, I was just thinking about it not too long ago. It was like, you know, I think the key and the goal that most of us try to kind of maybe attain is just to try to live in the present moment, you know what I mean, and not get stuck in the past or think too much about the future. Well, this was like 9 weeks of living in the present moment, because everything new. I was seeing everything with new eyes. Mm-hmm. And it was,
That's cool.
Yeah, it was pretty. Thank you.
Yeah. I mean, you would have to stay in the moment. And that is such a challenging skill for me, because, you know, being a planner and an organizer and all of like that, you're always thinking out, you know. And so I'm really working on bringing myself back into just being in the present moment with life in general. And it's so much stress-free. You know, I just,
yes.
Like there's no stress in that.
Exactly. Yeah, no, I totally agree. And I think it's hard. It's not easy. I mean, I was kind of, it wasn't really that hard to be in the present moment on that trip, you know, just because everything was new and it was, you know, it's just like you're almost forced to be in the present moment. Whereas, you know, during our daily thing here, you know, out and about, it's just, it's a lot easier to kind of, you know, social media, I think, can kind of trigger us in a lot of ways, whether we see somebody else maybe doing something that we think we should be doing. And so then that we start going into the future, or why aren't I there yet? Or are we going to, you know what I mean?
Yeah,
it's just,
yeah.
there's a lot more triggers when you're not riding your bike across the country.
Exactly. All right, so let's go further down the road with you.
Oh, my gosh, yeah. Well, so after I guess we can jump around a little bit back to like the when right when I left the or that bit of when the last year of being at the family business. So,
okay.
So I wrote the book. If you want me to, or I'm happy to talk about whatever you want.
No, I'm good. We're just hanging out talking, and they're
absolutely
eavesdropping on our conversation.
Perfect. And feel free to call in if anybody wants to. I'm happy to answer anything.
That's right.
Pretty much anything. Yeah. So I was, you know, I just wrote my book. I self-published it, and then I left, and I ended up moving to Reno, Nevada, from Salem, Oregon, because my son was just entering high school about 30 miles away in Northern California. So I wanted to be there for him while he was doing that, and I also kind of just began to reinvent myself. And when the book came out, I didn't sell a whole lot initially because, number one, I didn't know how to market it 10 years ago, and number two, I was scared to – I probably didn't own it as much as I should have. And so, I realized that if I wanted to share the message of the book, which was just a whole bunch of different ways to stay in balance – that I needed to overcome my fear of speaking. And so began the journey in Reno over the course of about 2 or 3 years of me doing a lot of different things. I started off with a couple of community college speech classes. Then I did Toastmasters for about a year. I created an interactive workshop that I tied it in with a book called An Introduction to Balance. I hired someone to co-host an internet radio show with me who had been doing it for a while. And I also took an acting class because I just felt intuitively all of those things would help me. And what little did I know, though, that as I did those, they all kind of, began to solidify my foundation, number one. But number two, they all started to kind of lead me into other things, which if you look back from where I'm at now, you can see it was all perfect as far as like, you know, meeting an amazing man who became a mentor of mine in one of those community college speech classes who was the teacher. The acting class, I had never planned on acting, but a few weeks after it was finished, I had a dream come to me about a street guitarist, the story about a street guitarist. And when I woke up, I realized, you know, this felt really important. I actually got out of bed and got a piece of paper and a pad, the paper, and I wrote it down. And a few weeks after that, I met a young filmmaker while on a set. And we started chatting, and I said, hey, I have this idea that might make a good short film. You want to do it with me? I don't know how to do it. I've never made a film or acted before. And he said, sure. So we got together another week or so later and started filming Guitar Man on the streets of Reno, Nevada over the course of about 4 or 5 nights. And it was just so empowering for me because I'd never played guitar in front of anybody. I was a closet guitarist. And I just, once again, it was one of those watershed kind of empowering moments that made me feel really alive. And the short film ended up doing pretty well, and which led me to another. Which led to another job, which led me to moving to LA 6 years ago. So, you know, I just by following these little hunches, it's amazing what can come of it.
soon. Your story is so inspiring. You know, like,
thank you.
Yes, from all the things that you have allowed yourself to do, you know, you didn't go with what could have been considered limitations, you know, with the knee and not knowing the film industry or the film production, how that works, and you know, riding a bicycle, all of that is in the Iron Man. I'm fascinated with your story, and I think that it inspires me to remain outside of my comfort zone, you know, because we can get caught. I can get caught saying, like, no, I want to stay right here. I don't want to learn anything else. I know enough. I know
I
enough
want
to get me
throw.
Going, right? Oh, man, I tell you, cause we be tricking ourselves and we be telling ourselves that stuff all the time, you know. And there's, I mean, just an endless amount of knowledge to be gathered in this world. You know, just like when you were on that Cross the Nation bicycle ride, you know, you learned from all of those different people and situations you were in and the different land that you were able to, you know, to step on and to walk on. It's amazing. So you're going to make me want to ride across the United States on a bicycle now. So.
Well, no, you're exactly right. I mean, can I give you a few examples?
Sure.
So when we were in Montana, two of the gentlemen in my group were actually from the Lame Deer Reservation. And so we ended up staying there for an extra day and we did a community service project. But we also had the opportunity to either, we had the choice of going for like horseback rides, or one of the boys' father would take us on kind of a tour of on the back part of the reservation where there's all kinds of fascinating things like you know, where they got paint out of a certain rock that they used to paint their faces back in the day, or to help to find a route, or to go see where it was called a buffalo jump, where they would, you know, kind of lead the buffalo to head over to, you know, so I mean, we're talking about this area where Lame Deer Reservation is about 40 miles away from where the Battle of Little Bighorn happened, where Custer met his fate, and so a lot of their relatives fought against Custer. And so there's just a lot of rich history all over. But I mean, it was really neat. And I was the only one that chose that. Everybody else went horseback riding. So I got this personal tour of all this rich history, and even showed me this rock that had some soldiers' names inscribed on it that were going through there, you know. And so it was just really, I don't know, you know, I mean, there's so much that we just don't open ourselves up to. And
exactly.
Yeah, and so I've loved history. I've always loved history, and so for me it was just like, hell yes, take me there, show me. You know, it was just excuse my language, but
no,
it was
you're
just
good.
So exciting, so exciting. You know,
yeah, because
and you,
know,
I, you know, I re-
go ahead.
No, go ahead. Before we got to the reservation, we passed along the highway that went right by Little Bighorn Battlefield, and I think one other person might have done it, but I stopped and I rode my bike around the whole place. It's a very interesting place, full of all kinds of you know, interesting energy, obviously because of what happened there. And you know, and I got to do the same thing when I went through Antietam in Virginia. You know, I rode my bike through that battlefield, and I don't know, it's just, there's a lot of things that we just take for granted, or we don't really pay attention to, that other people who went before us, that, you know, endured or fought against or fought for. And,
yeah.
And it's just, I think it's important to learn that stuff so that we don't repeat mistakes, you know, as well as just to kind of honor the people that went before us and who, you know, had all the different interesting ways of learning and growing and going through their, you know, that go around of their life.
Indeed, I should. Yes. So important what you just said. So, audience, if you would like to speak live with us, or if you would like to talk with Brian and ask him a question, talk personally with him, You may dial us at 516-531-9819 and push 1 on your dial to let us know you want to speak live on air. You must be enjoying this conversation. I know I am, and it's inspiring, it's uplifting and motivating, gives you more energy because of some of the things that, I mean, seriously, some of the things that you've done, it's just like, really? I want to do that too. So, yeah, that's cool.
It's not too late.
I know, right? Right. It's never too late. It's never too late. So it's always about stepping outside of that comfort zone and just doing what you do. So, all right. So the Guitar Man, you say, so that was a short film, a documentary, or?
Yeah, it's a short film, and some people watch it and they almost think it's a documentary the way that I did it. There's a lot of wonderful messages in it, and I actually utilized a lot of folks that we came across on the streets of Reno. And so, you know, I won't spoil it too much, but it's just 8.5 minutes, and it's on YouTube, and it's on my website on the videos page.
Okay.
And, you know, I invite everybody to watch it. You know, I think I'm really proud of how it turned out. I mean, it's the first thing I ever made, but yet, you know, it'll always hold a special place in my heart.
Sure. So what's your website?
GBrianBenson.com.
Oh, that's easy.
Yeah. Hey. Why make it difficult, right?
I love it. I love it. I'm going to go on there and make sure that I take a look at that.
Thank you.
Oh,
there's
man.
There's another film on there that I'm really there's another film on there that's called Searching for Happiness that I did a few years back, and I'm proud of that as well. It's completely different, but it also has some nice messages, and I hope you enjoy that as well.
Okay, so now you said that you met this person, I think, at the studio and talked to him about doing the film with you. So did you actually take classes for film production, or
no?
He was there
to
help you with it.
Well, basically, I met him. So I took like a 2-month class. It was finished, and then I did a little bit of extra work on a movie that was being filmed in Reno at the time. It was called The Motel Life, and it starred Dakota Fanning and Emile Hirsch. And so I worked on that for just a couple of days, and that's where I met this young filmmaker who was also kind of doing the same thing as me. And so I had not studied any film production or anything like that. He just was, you know, very, very talented himself and was just kind of beginning his career. And it was just like a perfect little match right then and there for both of us.
Okay, cool, cool.
Yeah, his name's Michael Sweeney. Yeah.
That's the film producer's name?
Yep, the boy who filmed it for me, yep, and edited it.
All right.
Yeah.
All right, and then we go to, what's your next step?
Well, you know, then I just, you know, my son graduated. I'd been in Reno for 4 years, and I've, you know, I'd written another book by then, and self-published another self-help book called Finding Your Voice. And I just kind of felt like I was kind of complete in Reno, and my intuition told me that I needed to go to L.A. and for kind of everything, you know what I mean? More potential books, it just felt like I was supposed to go there for a lot of things. And so I moved to Los Angeles not quite 6 years ago and immediately began studying with some acting teachers. And, you know, I started getting some jobs. And, you know, it was very exciting. I think looking back, you know, I took a little bit of a half a step back in acting recently because I put 2 books out last year and I'm wanting to start to speak more. And so, but for me, acting, you know, those classes that I took, they were just part of my education. You know, they helped me learn how to feel more in public. I mean, there's a part of me that's kind of, I'm a very introverted person, actually.
Really?
And so it helped me. Oh yeah, I'm a big introvert. I'm an outgoing introvert, but I need a lot of quiet time and downtime. And so it just helped me share more. It helped me get out of my shell, and as well as it taught me how to be in front of a camera. So, you know, it was all perfect in what happened. But going forward, you know, I still have some more ideas for projects of my own. I'm still putting out videos, spoken word pieces, and doing some stuff for some other people that are getting out there a lot. I don't know if you've heard of Jay Shetty or Prince EA, but they put out some really, really great inspirational kind of viral type videos, and I've done some stuff with both of them, and I have a small part in a TV show coming up too this summer.
Oh wow, okay.
And but you know, I'm not sure what's next with that. You know, I just let it kind of evolve.
Okay. But yeah. You know, for you not to be anxious or heavily influenced to have a next step, that's the beauty, where you can allow, you know, the creativity to just flow into you naturally.
That's a great point, and it's not always like that. There's definitely parts of me that have struggled, because when I do try to create that next step, it's usually when it doesn't happen and I just get frustrated.
Right.
You know, there's one else I want to share. When I was 3, I told my mom I was put here to inspire people. As interesting as that sounds.
When you were 3.
when I was three, and she reminded me not too long ago. I mean, after I, you know, had begun my journey after leaving the business. And so there's a part of me that feels like I know where it's headed. If that makes sense, kind of in a little, you know, I don't know exactly what it's going to look like, but I do feel like I want to, you know, try to make a difference and put out some really positive stuff to help people and on a bigger scale. And so as I've released some of my projects, whether they're books or short films, there's a part of me in the back of my mind was going, is this the thing that's going to spring me a little bit more? And when it didn't happen in the way that my own expectations were setting it up, I was then depressed and I got bummed out. And instead of just staying in the present moment and being grateful for what I created, which I was, but yet I wasn't patting myself on the back like I should have and really celebrating those individual wins, I was kind of looking ahead. And so that caused me some of my own versions of pain, if that makes sense. And so lately I've just really been focusing on just enjoying the process and, you know, knowing in my heart that I'm putting out good stuff and it'll be what it's supposed to be, and just let it happen on the path and the timing that it is supposed to.
All right. So is your main focus or your main goal just to create positive media and affect the people with it, or is there something else tied into that?
Well, I'm not exactly sure. You know, ultimately, yes, I want to inspire people in the way that they need to have it reach them, if that makes sense. I mean, you know, I think we're all kind of doing life similarly. We all have a lot of the same, you know, desires. We all want to love and be loved and be accepted and feel worthy. And you know, a lot of that is our own work that we need to put into it to make that happen. But, you know, hopefully with the messages that I'm sharing and the different ways that I'm doing it, just people can, you know, check it out, read it, watch it, listen to it, and just get what they need to at that particular point in their life with whatever they're working on.
Mm-hmm. Like it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, audience, we're coming up on our last 30 minutes. I just want to put this message back out here again, 516-531-9819. Push 1 on your dial and let us know you want to speak live on air with us. Brian, you've been sharing so many wonderful tidbits. I know I've been making notes because there are some of these things that you shared that I will definitely be applying to my life. And it's very important that, you know, we open ourselves up to learning from other people. You know, it's when we close ourselves off and think we got all the answers, or, you know, the answers are somewhere. But from what I'm gleaning from what you're saying is that it's all on the inside. The gifts, the knowledge is all on the inside of us. So I appreciate that. We do have a caller, area code 323-316. You want to give us your name and your contributions to the conversation?
Thanks. This is Reverend Sandy. How are you doing?
Doing well. How are you?
Can you hear me?
I can.
I'm doing just great. Okay. It's good to hear you and your guest. I am absolutely impressed and inspired by everything that has been said, because so many times we don't listen to our intuition. We don't act on what we hear from inside, and we listen to people outside, and we're wondering why everything isn't turning out the way we want it to. But I have a question. Now, what was your book about? Did I miss that? And
sure.
I didn't want to go to the website because I wanted to keep listening.
No, that's okay. What is your first name?
Well, Reverend Jay. What I go by.
Thank you. Okay, awesome. Thank you. So the very first book was called Brian's List, 26 and a half easy-to-use ideas on how to live a fun, balanced, healthy life. So Brian's List. That was the very first one. And then the second one that I wrote was called Finding Your Voice. And then I have a brand new one that just came out about 4 months ago called Habits for Success.
Awesome. That's awesome.
Yeah,
I'm glad you listened to your inspiration.
Thank you. I mean, you know, if there's, that's, I just want other people to learn how to, you know, listen to it and trust it as well. You know, it's, we're not taught to trust it or to even really kind of utilize it. And, you know, it's interesting looking back, the first book I wrote was on a whole bunch of different ways to like, you know, try to find life balance. And for me, that was really an important step in my growth process, because once we can kind of identify what helps us stay in balance and what throws us out of balance, we can really begin to hone our routine and really raise our self-awareness levels. And for me, you know, being able to live in balance and lead a balanced life for the most part, I mean, obviously we're going to go up and down, and, you know, we're not always going to balance as a moving target, but when we can do that, it's so much easier to allow our intuition to come through. And so, you know, I'm a big, you know, proponent of people learning how to find balance in their lives.
I say, I agree wholeheartedly. Thank you so much.
Well, thank you.
Thank you. So are you a life coach as well, Brian?
Yes, I'm a certified coach, and I have a few clients. I have not, with all the other stuff going on, I haven't really gone full bore into it, but I love to have a few clients at a time, absolutely.
Okay. I just wanted to make sure we got that established for the listeners. So.
Yeah, thank you.
You're welcome. So was there anything in particular that you wanted to discuss? If not, I'd like to get into your book, Habits for Success. And I want to know a little bit more about your finding your voice, because that's so important that we learn the value in our own voice. And so I would love to hear your views on that.
Of course. Thank you. Yeah, you know, Finding Your Voice, I think, came out maybe in 2013 or 14. And for me, you know, I was just writing a lot of the stuff that I was writing. I didn't realize it was for me at the time, but it was for me first and foremost, you know, just because I was really trying to find my voice as well. And so that book is just a compilation of little stories and some poems that I wrote and some quotes and just a whole bunch of different, you know, little things that kind of came to my awareness as I was going through the self-growth process. I mean, it's interesting. The last 10 years, I've kind of almost like documented my own life. I've almost kind of gone, sat in an observer's sat in an observer's perch watching and observing my own self-growth process. And, you know, and hopefully by sharing it, you know, it will help other people along their way, along their path as well. But, you know, that's just, it's not easy. You know, I'm kind of a private person, but yet I'm also, you know, I know that I'm supposed to do this publicly. And so it's been good. You know, I've done the work myself. I've tried to do the work myself, and I want to help other people, you know, become more self-aware.
Right, right. So that's in finding your voice. And so Habits for Success, the idea is to help you get where you need to be, help you to soar.
Well, yeah, you know, ultimately I think everything is about self-awareness and self-growth and foundational building. And the stronger that our foundation is, the easier it is for us to just step off of it, right? And
mm-hmm.
step out of our comfort zone and do those things that are a little scary to us so that we can, you know, move to the next level and start, you know, living a little bit more life, a life that feels more alive and fulfilling and mm-hmm. such. And so all of these, habits that I write about, they are all, that's their purpose. You know, they're all things that I've thought about and paid attention to and that have helped me. And, you know, I tried, there's 48 chapters, so there's a lot of different stuff in there. And I tried to write it in an inspiring and entertaining way that's also very thought provoking. And it kind of shares why it's an important habit, but yet also, you know, I'll put a personal story in there just to kind of help the reader, you know, understand how it personally helped me. And, you know, and there's some, you know, I'm really, really, really proud of how it turned out.
Good. It's a wonderful read, and I'm
thank you
for gifting me. I appreciate that
much.
Yes, yes. So, what would be your advice? Say that you're talking to an older person, more mature person, and
mm-hmm.
they have a dream, but and so we have Miss Eve. Good evening, Eve.
Oh wow, good evening. What a great evening to meet. Hey, to talk to you, Sandy, and meet our guests. Oh, you know, this is my question today to the guests. You know what I was thinking to ask you, and this is so important to me and a lot of us. Distractions is so much going on, and we got a lot
mm-hmm.
on our mind. And I'm very, very physical, and I'm so proud of you being all over the place and doing so much. I want to know, with the distractions, oh, you go someplace, and then they got roadblocks. You go somewhere else, and you're trying to follow your talent, and then there's a upset, and you go somewhere else, and there's fires. And is there as many distractions as I'm saying, or is just that I see them?
Wow, that's a great question, Eve. Thank you for asking that. You know, it's hard to say unless I knew a little bit more, obviously, and you don't necessarily obviously have to share that, you know, what's going on. But I think sometimes for some folks that they can create distractions in their life, you know, in different ways, or they kind of might almost kind of, it's almost by become a habit. You know what I mean? We create our habits in our kind of ways of doing things. But I guess for me, I just, I'm a giver and I love to help people and do all that kind of stuff. But I'm also pretty good at being a little bit selfish and taking care of my own needs. So I don't know if I have necessarily as many distractions as it sounds like. Oh.
It doesn't sound like it. It looks like you just walked right through it. I'm so proud.
Thank you. But, you know, I go through my own issue. I have my own stuff that I'm working on. I mean, you know, like I mentioned earlier, the whole looking forward a little bit because I kind of have an intuitive feeling of where it's headed and where it's kind of the path that it's going on. And so there's been a lot of times where I felt I was ready when I wasn't. And I needed more seasoning, and I needed to go through some ups and downs to maybe learn and gain some more empathy, or you know, just to gain some more self-awareness on an area that I needed to be stronger in. Or, you know, I've had to work really hard on my own self-awareness, or not self-awareness, excuse me, my own self-worthiness parts. And, you know, learned how to really love and accept myself. It's one thing to understand something intellectually, but yet another to really be able to embody it and to yeah. own what you're doing and get to that place of not worrying about what other people think about you and all that kind of stuff, right? And so...
You know what? I am so ecstatic about all that good food you're feeding me because, you know, I'm an athlete. And I got so many different avenues I'm going in, and now I'm injured, and I'm still moving, and people don't think I'm injured, and I'm resting, and I'm stretching.
Yeah, good, good.
And I'm still going forward with the best of my ability, and the people love it. And then to hear you, and you then came through it, and then you're doing about 100 different things. I'm going like
Well, but hold on a sec. Just remember that a lot of the stuff that we've talked about has been spread out over 30 years. So it's not like I'm doing everything right now. I'm not racing anymore. Right now, all I do is go hike, and I'll go ride my bike a little bit. But so I'm taking it. You know, I'm not training anymore. So that's a lot of time that I don't have to. You know, that I'm putting toward. You know, being a more comfortable speaker. I still have some fears that I need to work through myself, but you know, so I don't want you to think I'm not Superman. I'm more Clark Kent, you know, but I'm just,
I so care about you. You're going to have to come back. I so care about you because you know what? You're feeding me and you're feeding all of us. And now we know that we can break through without a doubt.
Yes.
Because you got all this experience and you're a coach too. Look at that. I mean, this is huge because, you know, I be running like I go, which way do I go? Which way do I go? And I think I need to slow down. I think I need to consider that it takes time. And I think that I need my own personal time, and I need my rest, and I know that I'll get there if I keep going forward. You gave us a lot. I appreciate
you. Thank you. Yeah, can I say one more thing, Eve? Remember, this is one of the hardest lessons I had to learn, because I'm a very driven person in a lot of ways, and some of that driven nature comes from maybe that part of me feeling like I need to prove myself. But as I sit more comfortably in my own self-worthiness and self-love, that goes away, but I'm still driven in a different way. I still love to create. But what I learned was if I kept pushing and pushing, nothing happened. And I lost my creativity, and it was like spirit forced me to take a break, and it would happen in a variety of ways. It might make me sick. It might make something kind of a project fall apart. So anymore, when I feel like nothing's happening for me creatively, I know that I need to take a break. It might be one day. It might be 3 days. A couple years ago, I felt like I had to get out of LA, and I drove through the Southwest for 2 weeks. But I will tell you this. Every time I took a break, even though it was kind of scary and I felt like I was going to get behind, when I came back from that, everything flowed. I mean, I've learned to trust that I can get a lot of work done in a short period of time when I'm rested and allow my creativity to truly come through when I'm grounded. So don't be afraid to take a break, because it will be the best thing that you ever did. It's going to be tough for your ego and your brain, but your body needs it, your mind needs it, and you'll be better off for it, and you'll actually be more creative. It's crazy. Human nature doesn't allow us to, you know, let that happen easily. But just that's if there's one thing that I can share with you that was hard for me, but I got it finally with that.
You know what?
No.
I it's so many things, and I'm going to take it all in and relax on it, on everything I've heard you say. I'm going to relax on it. But I'm charged up. I'm like a battery that needs to slow down and take a break. But look at what I've learned. You and all of us is so wonderfully created, beautifully different. I appreciate you. Thank you.
I appreciate you, too. Thank you.
Brian, you made a statement that I just want to come back to, and because I know that we all have experiences with low self-worth.
Mm-hmm.
Was your elevation of your self-worth, was that affected by the different activities that you were involved in? Were you doing mindful meditation? How were you able to increase your feelings of self-worth?
That is an incredible question. And it's you'd think after doing all this triathlons and stuff, it would have been better. But I think on the outside, it made some things better, but it also kind of acted as a little bit of a Band-Aid. And so it didn't really clean up what needed to be cleaned up. It just kind of masked it a little bit. Yes, I gained confidence from doing triathlons. Yes, I gained confidence and you know, it fed my ego and I was in good shape and I felt good about myself in a lot of ways. But ultimately, I think if we've been wounded, you know, then we need to work through that, whether it's with, you know, just really getting honest with what happened, or, you know, talking about it with somebody else, or just really getting in there and speaking the hurt and you know, just letting it breathe and just shining some light on it. For me, you know, I don't know if there anything happened to me when I was younger, really younger, that kind of made me feel like I wasn't enough or that but I do know in high school I had something happen to me that was tough. And I played baseball on the JV baseball team, and I was a sophomore, and there was a couple other sophomores. Most of the guys were a year older. And one of them thought I looked like a monkey. And so he started calling me that, and four of his friends did too. And so they did that through the season and whatever. They saw me in school, and I never felt attractive after that. And, you know, when you're in high school, we're so susceptible to that kind of stuff when we're just trying to, you know, figure ourselves out you know, it's a tough enough time as it is. So, you know, I you know, talk about it and I've kind of dealt with it, and it's much better for me now, but I think that really wounded me. And so, you know, that could be where part of it came from. But ultimately, you know, it's a process, and, you know, I've had to work on it just like everybody else does from whatever, you know, maybe stunted them a little bit. Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And
so,
where did
you know, we
that,
can't, we can't, well,
Now I was just going to say, so where did that work hard? Where did that mentality originate? Do you know? Is that from working two jobs?
My driven nature. I think that's a great question. I think maybe it's a combination of maybe me needing to prove to myself that I was enough because I didn't feel like I was in some ways. But I also feel like everything that I've did, I mean, the triathlons and some of the other stuff and, you know, the books, and I mean, those all did bring me joy as well. So it wasn't like I was doing something that just because I felt like I needed to prove myself to everybody that, and I was not enjoying that, because I did. I enjoyed the races, and I enjoyed the camaraderie with some of the other athletes, and I enjoyed the creative process. And you know, that all made me feel alive, just because, you know, I think we can, when we're doing something for the first time and we're not sure that we can do it, it's an awesome feeling, right? And mm-hmm. So I think the driven nature probably came from a lot of different ways, a lot of different places.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yep. And so another question, the question I was going to ask just prior to me opening up the line for Eve is that elders, so do you find more mature people resistant to perhaps the advice that you would have for them as far as not getting locked into a box or, you know, thoughts, limiting thoughts, but, you know, to go out there and try something new and to get beyond perhaps a age limitation that they've placed on themselves. So how do you address older people, per se?
Well, you know, to be honest, I really don't ever try to tell anybody what to do. I just try to lead by example. And that's really the will to change has to come from within that person. You know, I don't know if I've ever really even noticed resistance from anybody except my son. And he's resisting me because I'm his dad. Right?
Right,
you know,
exactly.
I mean,
that's
so
natural right there, what you're talking about.
Exactly. You know, he's 25 now, and so I just, anymore, I you know, initially early on, I probably tried to tell him what to do and be a little controlling, and that's not right, and I needed to learn. But also, I just, anymore, I just try to tell him I love him and let him, and to be a good example. And he's
exactly.
a kid that, he's one of those kids, yeah, he's one of those kids that needs to kind of make the mistakes on his own, and he knows that, and that's fine. You know what I mean? I know he'll be okay, even though it's tough to kind of watch him struggle sometimes.
Yeah, but honestly, we all are like that. You know, we all
yeah.
have to go down our own
stubborn.
Road and, yeah, you know, and get into those hooks and crooks and, you know, the bumps and the flat tires and all of that kind of stuff. So we do or we miss the lesson, you know. So
yes.
Yeah.
Oh, I know me. I hope I'm not painting this rosy picture that everything's been easy for me. It hasn't. I mean, when I started writing the self-help book. Yeah. Okay. Good. Good. Good.
Do you
I mean,
think
I
he painted a rosy picture?
No. you know, we all have stuff that we go through that teaches us and makes us who we are and strength, you know,
right,
forces
right.
us to be stronger and what have you. And, yeah, I've been touched by suicide 5 times, unfortunately, you know, and that's
wow.
just a sad thing,
wow.
but, you know, but one thing that, you know, when I started writing these self-help books, you know, around 2009 and the other one in 13, I started putting a lot of pressure on myself to be perfect and almost pious because here I was writing self-help books. And I really lost myself for a little while because I'm you know, normally just a pretty silly, funny, witty, you know, guy. And it just
mm-hmm.
too much pressure to carry, way too much pressure to carry. I just need to be me and want to be me.
Right.
I don't want to, you know, I felt like it needed to look a certain way. And so I've had to deal with my own set of things as well. But that's why we're here.
Right.
We're here to learn and grow and learn how to love ourselves more.
Yeah. Awesome message. Well, we're down to about the last 7 minutes or so of the show. So is there a burning message you would like to share with the audience? Or, you know, you can go into more explanation of the book. I'm going to let you control that time period. So,
well, thanks. You know, I mean, ultimately, I would love to read one of my pieces called Your Voice. Okay, cool. But other than that, I think just my ultimate message is just to just get out and live and don't be afraid to try something, you know, and it's okay to fail. I mean, there's so much rich material for us in failing. I mean, it helps us build character. It helps us become more empathetic. It makes us humble. I think sometimes it forces us to dig deeper. Failing can teach us new ways to do things. You know, and lead to new opportunities. So, you know, it's just get out there and just try something. If it feels interesting to you, do it. I know whenever I felt both scared and excited about something, I knew I was on the right track. And so just remember that.
Okay.
It's okay. Yeah, it's okay. But so I'm going to read you. I'm going to recite
thank you for
voice.
That.
Yeah, you're welcome. You're welcome. All right, you ready?
Yes, I am.
Your voice creates a ripple over land and well beyond. truthful words vibrate lifted to create a loving bond. Your voice can be your freedom, or your voice can be your hell. Mindful heed and word and thought send forth love and light to gel. Your voice can give permission to another seeking truth. Authentic, centered living taps into eternal youth. Your voice can be the difference to set a young child free. Loving words to encourage, a model for them to be. Your voice is your ready key to unlock your truthful worth. Spoken pure, life now renewed, energized, loving, rebirth. Your voice gives inspiration for those afraid to speak. Reassuring tone shared true helps others gain their peak. Your voice is a kindred link when spoken face to face. True connection, eyes unite before texting took its place. Your voice is your true freedom when it's spoken from the heart. Intuition's guiding path helps you play your destined part. And your voice is fundamental for all life and love to flow. Empowered, valued, perfect, painting a worldly glow.
That's beautiful.
Thank you.
Yes, I love that.
Thank you. And that's in the new book. Thank you.
Ooh, okay. Very touching. Gets right down to the soul of you. Yeah, yeah. Thank you for those beautiful words.
It's my pleasure. You know, as I work on learning how to find and share and understand and my, you know, release my voice, you know, I want to help other people do the same thing.
Right. Can you say your work has been going on for over the last 30 years, 30 plus years?
Well, this just what I'm doing recently, I mean, the books and the acting, you know, that's just been ever since I left my family business, just the last 10 years.
Wow. Okay.
It's all kind of new to me. I didn't really know it was, you know, I didn't know it would be happening this way.
So that, I mean, that's a message within itself right there. You know, like, so you're not 20 because you've got a son that's 20.
No,
so,
I'm
know,
50. I'm
but,
52. Yeah.
Oh, wow. Okay. But you spent the last prime years, you know, mature years, refinding or redefining who you are and exploring new avenues and new ways of doing things and being and looking at the earth and sharing all of these experiences with these diverse people, and only because it's what you've chosen to do is to step out on faith and do something different. Something like that from that sentence I read in the first part of the show, I had to step away from something that I didn't love in hopes of finding something that I did. And with that motivation, you have just conquered so many milestones in your lifetime. And so I find that, I mean, that's so encouraging, or should be encouraging for the listeners that are paying attention to what you're saying. You know, you're talking about overcoming low self-worth and low self-esteem and confidence and overcoming all of that, overcoming being bullied in school and, you know, the part of the human American experience to be able to so peaceful. Yeah, to be so peaceful in who you are right now. That's really incredible. And I applaud
you.
That.
You know,
I applaud you. Yeah.
Thank you. Thank you. Yeah, it's never too late. Thank you.
Yeah. And so that's what you give older, more mature people. Like you say, you live by example or teach by example. And so I had no idea you were 52. So so it is all agreeing with you. I'm serious. I didn't think you were that old, you know. So
yeah. Thank you.
Yeah, it's the beauty of life, you know, when you're really in tune to it, you know, you don't age, I don't believe.
Well, thank you. You know, and I learned how to take care of myself a long time ago when I was racing in triathlon, so I try to eat pretty good, and, you know, and, yeah, you know, it's been exciting and unique and different in a lot of different ways, but it hasn't always been easy because, you know, I've, you know, had to kind of, you know, sacrifice a fairly decent living just to kind of just, you know, head off into a direction that I didn't know where it was really headed. I just had it was a trust walk, and, you know, and,
right.
And so, you know, it's, and we make our choices, and I'm so glad that I did this. I don't really feel like I had a choice. It's like my mission. It's like my life's mission. But there's definitely been times where I've questioned it, and it's not been easy. And I have, you know, I see everybody else my age, my friends, you know, have certain amount of money and all that kind of stuff and whatever, while I'm kind of still establishing things. But, you know, I have freedom, and I'm being creative. And I think that counts for so much, you know, just
yeah.
the creative process.
Yeah.
It's so important for us to be creative. It's just connection to source, you know, and
right.
So I can't compare myself or my ideas of success or what success means to me has definitely changed over the course of, you know, over the course
exactly.
of the last 10 years.
Right. Because, you know, sometimes I think you talked about distractions earlier, and sometimes I think money is a distraction because we spend
yeah.
so much of our energy going after it, or we're trying to make money, you know, like some of these sayings that we put around currency or around money. And
mm-hmm.
I find so much peace and comfort in being in the place where I am. And it's not necessarily, you know, making thousands and thousands of dollars or, you know, but I'm so at peace. And you can't buy peace. You can't manufacture peace. You know, you're just there. And sometimes it's without all that added weight of, you know, the fame and fortune.
All the extra stuff and what have you. I mean, don't get me wrong. I'm open to making money, and it will make some things easier.
Sure.
It will also allow me to do a lot of really cool things on a bigger scale. So, you know, but I also know that, you know, having a number one book or having a lot of extra stuff doesn't make one happy. And
yeah,
so,
Well, Brian, we are just about out of time. We are down to 1 minute left.
Wow.
If you would like to give us closing remarks, and I'll tell you, I have so thoroughly, thoroughly, thoroughly enjoyed talking with you this evening. And his contact information, everybody, his website is www.gbrian, B-R-I-A-N, Benson, BENSON.com. And he's on YouTube. He's got a couple of videos over there. Are you on Facebook too?
Oh, yeah. All social media is, most of it's at G. Brian Benson. And on my website, there's lots of videos. There's the TEDx, there's the short films, there's videos, there's the books, there's lots of stuff. And people can also find the new book on Amazon at habitsforsuccessbook.com.
Excellent. You want to close us out? We got about 60 seconds left.
Well, I just want to thank you kindly for having me on, and for everybody who's here listening, and for the wonderful questions that we had, and for sharing. And this was a really nice chat. I appreciate you, and I appreciate your listeners. And, you know, we're all here together working and learning how to become more self-aware together.
There you go. Yeah. Well, thank you. I mean, sincerely, from the bottom, top, and middle of my heart, I have enjoyed and have learned so much. I've taken a couple of your quotes, and I've already put them on a little sticky thing, so they're going to be affirmations for me. So,
you're sweet.
I appreciate you so much. And we will see you in the future.
I appreciate you too, Reverend Sandy. I'd love to come back again sometime.
Okay, great. We'll do that.
Thank you.
Thank you, Eve. All righty. So I love you guys, and we'll be back next Tuesday. Stay tuned for an incredibly fabulous show next week. You'll just have to come in and see what it's about because I'm not going to spoil it. All right. Have a great life. See you next week.
Take care.
Okay, you too.
You too.
Mm-hmm.